session number 20971, reel 2.
QBT reel 2.
Yes, and whilst I was at Margate, I went, two of us were attached to the Yanks down at Barton Stacey. And I can remember we were dressed up in American uniforms, and I know they had lectures, and they did get me on the parade square trying to drill some Americans, because their method of ordering was totally different. There was absolute confusion. That was very funny. And I used to remember them on payday. I mean, they got paid enormous sums of money to us, but straight in the barrack room, out came the dice, pokey die, and the craps, cards, and they gambled away and then borrow on next month's pay, some of them. Most odd. Yes, and the food was very, very rich. And, I used to go in the naffy.
Did you like the Americans' food?
No, not really. It was too rich. Some of it was all right, but I can remember, whilst I was down there, we did an exercise with the Americans, and we were issued with a little tent. I thought, well, I don't think you'll be using tents on the other side. Whether they did or not, I don't know. But at 1 o'clock, everything stopped. And I said, what's happening? Oh, it's lunch break. And I could not believe it. We had wonderful food there. Then we had peaches, never seen a peach. And we had the option of cream or ice cream, which was unbelievable, really, in those days. That was it, yes, for the Americans. Then I went to the PX stores and bought a load of cigars and toothpaste, which was about tuppence a tube, I think, in their stores. And cigars were very cheap. And then I went back to Margate. And Margate, we did a lot of bayonet training and on the front, and route marches, and on the beach with things about mines and things, and clambering up and down the small cliffs there. That was Margate. Then we went to where did we sail from? Lewis, somewhere near Lewis. No, can't think where it was. When we went across the other side, in a ship.
Is this still with the 7th Norfolks?
Yes, and of course I think the advance party, landed on the wrong beach, I think. Anyway, we eventually got there into the area where we were supposed to be and settled down, and different issues with different things, ammunition for change.
Was it a peaceful landing in Normandy?
Oh yes, yes, that was all right. Well, no, it was a bit rough, I think. Yeah, it was a bit rough, so we had to couldn't get right into this beach, so we had to jump in the water up to about 4 or 5 feet, if I remember. Yeah.
You mean because of rough weather?
It was a bit rough, yeah, by the day we went. But I know we had a load of bikes, but I don't think they took. I think they threw them in the water. Yeah.
Were you still with A Company?
I was still with A Company, yes.
What was your job with A Company?
At that time I was sergeant, platoon sergeant.
Which platoon, do you remember?
Yeah, 9 platoon. My lieutenant was Morris, Lieutenant Morris. Yes.
What was that platoon like?
All right, good platoon, yes. Yes. Well, I thought it was. Mm.
Did they give you any trouble?
No trouble at all. Oh, well, you'd get the odd one who wouldn't get out of bed. but there was always a cure. The bucket of water worked wonders. It's grand. Good crows.
You mean you threw a bucket of water over somebody who wouldn't get out of bed?
Oh, yes. Yes, he wouldn't get out of bed. So I said, I'll be back in 5 minutes. He's still in bed, so the bucket of water went over. Cured him. Cured him completely. Yeah. Yes, I remember we had, I don't know where we went to, some town near where we were at the time, I don't know what we went for, we went to have baths or showers, I suppose. Oh, and I remember the loos were, oh God, it was dreadful. Disgusting. Yes, and then we got ready for our first little show at Ypron. We did quite a bit of training going through crops, growing crops, because there was quite a lot of corn out that part of the world. And we went to, we had an O group, and issued with ammunition, and we went up at nightfall to Ypron, and we got through the corn, through to the corn all right, and then we came to quite an open space, and of course we had to get down and crawl along to get to, and quite a lot of small arms fire and machine gun fire and the odd mortars, and we suffered a lot of casualties. I know my platoon officer was wounded, and the sergeant major was wounded, because I did his wound up for him with the field dressing. Yeah.
What did you see of the Germans, the enemy, in that action?
Never saw any. We just firing into. They were in a woods, in a wood in front of us, and anyway, they after about come the dawn and. We got settled in and dug in, and they cleared off into the down in a small village, Labisi, I think it was called, and there they stayed until one of the other companies cleared them out and a few tanks. That was Ypron, but we did suffer a lot of casualties.
What did you feel about your first day in action?
Not much. I didn't enjoy it. I didn't think much of it. It was quite an opener, really, because it was quite a bit naughty. But anyway, we survived. Then we went back to, I think it was Noyers we went to. And I was promoted to Sergeant Major there, because we'd lost our Sergeant Major, because promotion was quick in those days. And we settled there for a few days and got re-equipped and for our next one. I can't remember the next thing we went. But after a few days, I remember being in a slit trench with a couple of chaps on a crossroads somewhere, and I saw a Tiger tank coming along the road. I said, oh God, get your heads down and keep down. And I couldn't believe it. The size of the barrel, I thought, was about 50 yards long to me, sitting in a slit trench. Really quite frightening. But anyway, they cleared off after a while, so we were lucky there. Got out of that bit all right. I can't think what happened there. We went to Noyers after that, that's right. And after that we moved up on, we must have walked about 10 or 12 miles, I think. That was the time when the big fillet do was going on. And then we got onto tanks and were taken farther up to overlook the Orne. And I said to the tank commander, are you bedded down for the night? Yes, he said. And we were being shelled then at the time. I said, well, I'm going to dig a slit trench for this side of the tank to protect myself, because it was quite open. I dug myself in the night. The darn things moved off, and I never heard them. I was sound out because we hadn't slept for about 48 hours. And he moved away, so I was sitting, lying there in open ground. But anyway, that was all right. We moved forward then. We had an O group with Major Addison, the company commander. And they were then trying to find a part of the Orne which was fordable, because we'd got to go across it at some period. And I remember Captain Jameson, or was he Major then? Anyway, he went forward with another officer, because he was 6'4", to see where we could cross. And he found it impossible, I think. And then they sent a sergeant from the REs, yes, and he tried to find where, no. And Major Addison went down, and he found a place for us to cross. And God, it was dark, so dark, and especially in the wood. So they laid tapes down for us to cross when we were going to cross, so that was all right. But during the night, we must have got moved off about 10 o'clock at night. It was pitch black, going through this wood, couldn't see a darn thing. Waded through the river, about 4 or 5 feet deep, got over that all right, moved up, and unfortunately, we were supposed to be move up into a place on the right of the battalion and move up by compass bearing, but I don't know who was reading the compass. Anyway, we landed in the wrong spot, far to the right of the battalion, and dug in, and we were attacked, and had a bit of a skirmish, and the Germans moved back a bit again. They had another go, and we'd only got 150 rounds each, and then they attacked the third time because we were running out of ammunition, and we got surrounded, and that was it. We were in German hands, which wasn't very nice.
What were they attacking you with?
Spandaus and rifles. And that was it. And we were bombed with mortars. That was quite a do.
But were you taking many casualties?
We had a lot of casualties. But according to the battalion history that was written, I think the amount of, we killed about 58 Germans. So I suppose even Stevens.
What were you armed with yourself?
A rifle, 303 rifle, and I was with in company headquarters, of course, just 20 yards back from the front ditch, with my signalers. Of course, the 18 set was useless, didn't work, and apparently the battalion were trying to contact us, and theirs didn't work, so they didn't know where we were. So we just got taken away.
What was the appearance and manner of the Germans who captured you?
As we moved from the little battle area to the back, they just fired on us with a Spandau. So we all went to ground. And after that, I picked a chap up who was badly wounded and took him to hospital. And that was a terrible sight. Blood on the floor, it was disgraceful, horrible. And mostly Germans, and dropped a couple of our chaps off who were wounded. And then they segregated us from NCOs and officers, and we were taken. Captain C rank was with me, second in command, and Sergeant Reeve, myself, and a couple of corporals were taken to the headquarters of this particular regiment. Can't think the name of it now. Anyway, we were surrounded by the SS as well, 12th SS, and we were taken to this chateau and sat there for several hours, and it was absolute chaos in this build. They were running about everywhere, thank goodness. So they were getting a bit of their own medicine. But prior to that, I remember when we were walking from the Orne up to our so-called battle area, I heard voices in a trench. And I said, hang on. And I stopped. And I said, yes, German. I said, toss a grenade in. So we tossed a grenade in, and whoever was in there was silenced. They would listen to the radio. That was a thing I'd forgotten about. But then we were taken from the headquarters to a building and stables there. No food. We'd given water. And I always remember Captain C rank. They got a bar of chocolate and a bar of soap. So I had a wash with a bit of soap and a cold water pail. And a piece of chocolate, which is very acceptable. Because that was the last bit of food I had for a week or more. Yeah, that was... Then we were taken and putting in the old cattle trucks with a load of other chaps. And that was very uncomfortable. Prior to that we were put in trucks and taken through to Paris. And we stopped at a large building at the headquarters, I suppose it was. And then from there we went to a railway siding, and then we were put in cattle trucks. I remember we were going along, and it was a Hurricane or a Spitfire, and fired, and we saw the driver and his firemen get out and run across the fields. We thought, hello, what's happening? And then this plane came along and just fired on the engine, put that out of commission, so we had to wait there for a while. Another engine put on. We went up through southern Holland somewhere, stopped there for a night under a tent, still no food, and spent a couple of 3 days there, and we went to a town. Where it was, I don't know, but whilst we were in the siding, I think it must have been the French Resistance. They blew the train up, the engine up. It was absolute confusion. I've never seen so many Germans running about everywhere. I don't think they knew where they were. And they were taken to a camp in the town where there were a load of Indian soldiers in the other compound. And there we were given a little food, some sort, a bit of soup, something.
Anything you can say about the Indian soldiers?
Well, we didn't make any contact because they were in another compound. No, they were just like us, I suppose, but they didn't look very happy. What happened then?
Which camp did you go to in Germany?
Well, I know we were outside Essen, and we're in a carriage, a cattle carriage, and Essen was being bombed at the time, and we were about 3 or 4 miles out. That was the thing I remember about that Essen being bombed, because that was very uncomfortable when you're shut up and can't get out. And then we went to some other place, gosh, I don't know where we didn't go. I saw her. Then we were put in a truck, another cattle lorry, for a few miles. And whilst we were sitting in this truck, as a lightning bomber came over, and that was shot down with rifle fire because it wasn't very high. I could remember seeing that come down. Must have been an American, I expect. We arrived at... and there we got to... eventually got to 357, camp I was in for the rest of the time, and we were segregated.
Where was 357?
Felling Bostel. Yes.
What was that camp like?
Oh, well, all right. Food was, the sleeping quarters were atrocious. The food was atrocious. We were with the several Canadians in the same camp. And they were supposed to have been put in chains. I remember that, but which was a load of rubbish, because they were put in chains and given the key. So it was a bit of propaganda for the English, I suppose, the other side. But I think, I don't know. And then we stayed there, food, breakfast, a piece of rye bread the thickness of your identity disc, which was about an inch and a quarter. That was the day's ration. A tin of acorn coffee, which was dreadful, but you got used to it. For lunch was a tin the size of a half-pound Bourneville cocoa tin filled with, horse meat soup. And in the hut I was in, we had Canadians and all regiments. And if you got an eye in your soup, there was a loud cheer, and that was pinned on the wall. So we had about 30 or 40 eyes around the top of the room, staring at us. Funny. And
horse's eyes, you mean?
Horse's eyes, yeah. Funny. And that was lunch. And if you wanted a piece of bread, you had a piece off your ration. For tea was a cup of coffee. And that was it. But of course, prior to that, of course, they would have been getting Red Cross parcels. I never got one because everywhere was being bombed and they couldn't get Red Cross parcels through to us. But I was in there for until about February. I think it was February. And then they took us out to the camp in squads, about 40. And I was in one squad, and a couple of fellows or chaps I knew was in the other, so I slipped out and crossed over and got in with them. And we'd been marching for about 2 days, and a chap was a sergeant major in the Black Watch, said to me, I was with, and a sergeant from the REs. He said, "Well, gentlemen are marching us back to Germany, I think." I said, "I don't know." I said, "I think we ought to take off." So we bided our time, and we came. Eventually, the guards were on one side, and there's this 6-foot trench, and there's a load of, I think, must have been Russian slave chappies in this dig out. So we hopped in there and waited till the column had gone, and we shot into the wood, and we hid up there for a couple of nights. We'd been given prior to leaving the camp, we'd each been given a litre tin of horse meat as our food. So we got food with us, but the thing we hadn't thought about was water. But as luck would have it, there were streams, and they were quite clean water, so we used to drink out of those. And we used to wait until nightfall, and if the moon was up, we'd move west. That's the only thing. We used to move carefully for a half mile or so, and then settle down in a wood somewhere. We got one blanket each. We used to huddle in that, one on the ground and two on the top in the wood. And one of us used to take turns at looking at the side of the wood, see that we were not being followed or any crouched about. And eventually, we were picked up by we saw this convoy coming through, and it was all new stuff to us. Anyway, we crossed out of the road and stopped them, and they were a load of mobile gunners going up to the front again. So they said, "Do you want any food?" So he says, yes, can we have some dry biscuits? Would you like scotch? No, no, don't drink that stuff. We'd like to, but don't. And so we had these dry biscuits, which tasted heaven to us, and cheese. And we went up with these chappies till they settled down for the night. And
this was the British Army?
Oh, yes. Lovely. Gosh, the food was, well, to us was magnificent, you know. Real potatoes and meat. Couldn't believe it. And then we were a bit naughty. We saw a couple of chaps on the river, by the river, on the bridge. And, German soldiers in mufti. So we said to the lieutenant, do you think we could go and search those chaps? He said, yes, he said. No rough stuff. Oh, no, no, no. So we go down to the bridge and made these chaps turn their pockets out. And then we said, righto, strip, clothes off. And then I jumped, threw them in the river. Well, we didn't throw, they jumped in the river and we threw our clothes after them. Because if we'd have been caught, we'd have been shot. So they were dead lucky. But that was the only thing I remember about that.
You had POW uniforms.
Well, I was in denims. I was captured in denims, of all things. And I had an old, well, I think it was Napoleonic blue French overcoat that I was given to keep warm. That was it. That was my clothing in the camp, denims, and but it was so cold there, we used to go out into the woods and we were allowed to saw wood down and bring it back to the hut to put in the stoves we had in the hut, wooden stoves. But we got so desperate we were burning the beds up, half of them. So at the finish I had one plank for my bottom and one for my head. And I think most of us were all the same.
This was at Fallingbostel?
That was at Fallingbostel. But the chap, going back a bit, the chap who was in charge was an Austrian soldier who was not a Nazi. And he'd been wounded somewhere, and he was really frightened, poor chap, because they were picking them all up and sending them out to the Russian front. And we really felt sorry for him, because he was such a nice chap, really. Yes. But the loos in the camp, I must tell you this, there was a cemented ditch about 10 feet deep, I think, with a plank going, a set of seats about 12, 15 seats long, and back by another set of seats. And that was the loos. And you just to sit there amongst, with other people, which was, got so used to it you didn't worry about it. But it was a pretty horrible first thing. But it was very, well, if it lets you be, depressing, because the atmosphere was dreadful. You knew you couldn't get out, and that was it. We had one little guard there, it was about 4'6", I think, a little swine. Otherwise they were all right.
In what way was he a swine?
Pardon?
In what way was he a swine?
Well, he just made things uncomfortable for us, you know, shouting at us. And we used to have to, in the mornings, go out to be counted. Now, this used to take sometimes hour and a half, 2 hours sometimes. We used to always line up in fives, or fumps, because the Germans were to decimalise, weren't they? Fives. And the guard would start at the front, ein, zwei, drei, vier, and the chap from the second row or first row would slip down to the end. So when he got to the bottom, he was one man too many. And when he counted again, of course, the other chap would slip back, and another one would slip back, and then one would hide up, and we would be out there hours with him counting, just to be cussed. And then we had news one particular day, because we were kept in touch with radios. So they got radios. We used to stand guard at the windows to see if the ferrets were coming round. And because we used to stand, if the Americans came over, or the English with their